Welcome to the Soulfully Spiritual Podcast, where we talk about life, love, work, relationships, and all the things with a spiritual twist. I'm your host, Deanna, and I look forward to bringing you into my soulfully spiritual world in a way that makes you feel right at home. So grab your coffee, your tea, and get cozy. So it's the start of a fresh week. The world is still in the middle of a global pandemic. At the time of recording this, it's May 18th, and I've been doing a lot of thinking over here at Soulfully Spiritual and my business and what we're going to do going forward. And of course, one of the things was, let's bring back the podcast. So here we are. I'm kicking it off with this first episode, all about planning for your success and sharing some of my tips so that you can get shit done, but still do it in a way that you're allowing for your self-care, you're allowing for your meditation, you're allowing for breath work and movement and all these things that are so important to nourishing ourselves inside and out. So I'm going to dive right in. My intention is that this will be like a mini-sode. A mini-episode to kick things off. And, you know, it's my hope that you'll be able to come back to this episode as much as you need to kind of, you know, work on your own productivity and planning and all that stuff. So before we dive in, I do want to just say thank you. Thank you for being in my world. Thank you for being you. I get to do what I love to do every single day because people like you show up and support me and allow me to and give me the energy to keep spreading the message about this work. You know, chakra health, meditation, self-love, personal growth and development, spiritual growth and development are all very important to me and are huge missions in my business to, you know, keep spreading the awareness. So thank you. And with that being said, let's talk about planning. You know, as I said at the top of the episode, how you plan plays a huge role in determining your success. So my first tip for you when it comes to planning is to not over plan. When we try to do everything, oftentimes we end up getting nothing done. And I don't know about you, but I can plan the hell out of some shit, okay? Like, I can really go down the planning rabbit hole and feel really good about myself. I'm making these plans, my lists are pretty. But then by the end of it, I'm tired and I don't have time to execute on any of those things. And so over the years of, you know, on my entrepreneurial journey, butchered the hell out of that one. You know, over the years on my entrepreneurial journey, on my motherhood journey, my corporate journey, my journey as a human, I've done a lot of research, taken all the courses, read so many books. And so the methods that I'm sharing with you are really just a mashup of all the greats who came before me and taught me their ways. So big thank you to them too. Huge shout out. So back to over planning. We don't want to do it. Over planning is borderline perfectionism, and perfectionism is just fear of failure. And fear of failure means we're not trusting the universe, and that's not how we want to show up. So don't overplan. The goal can never be to get everything done immediately. There's a reason for that. We don't want to be crazy humans stressed out by these things on a list that we put there. Like, we hold the power in deciding what we do. And yes, you know, there are some kind of attachments with deadlines and client work and expectations and all that stuff. But your to-do list should never stress you out because you created the to-do list. And so we're going to talk about how to do that in a way that feels good for you and that takes the pressure off of you. So when we're talking about planning, you know, your self-care, your morning routine, your wellness routine, your health and wellness routine, whatever you call it, that's essential. That's a must do and must be put into your schedule every day, whether you use Google Calendar or a paper planner or a bullet journal or some other system of managing your day and appointments. Your self-care needs to be on that list and it needs to be there and you need to stick to it, because taking care of yourself allows you to show up for everything else, because chances are most of the things we put on our to-do list are for other people. And in order to continue to provide services to people at a high, high level, the level that we want to, because we want to put good work into the world, we need to be in good shapes to do it. And we need to do that ourselves. No one is coming to save us. It's our responsibility to make sure we're good. And then when we're good for everyone else. So there you have it. And put every step of your self-care routine, you know. Don't just say from 7 to 8 a.m. I'm practicing self-love. Like, come on, what does that actually mean? Get specific. Yes, you can just block out the hour, but then put down exactly what you're going to do. You know, I wake up, I wash my face, I drink my lemon water, then I do my collagen drink, then I write, I do breath work, I meditate, then I engage with the world. So get super specific. It's going to help you, you know, commit and actually show up and do all these things that you've identified are good for your soul and yourself. The next tip I have for you is the Ivy Lee method. So I'm not going to go into too much detail. You can Google Ivy Lee method. Some people have wrote some really great articles and how-tos, but essentially it's writing down every single thing that your brain is holding on to that needs to get done, then getting real honest with yourself and looking at that list and saying, what are the 6 most important things from this list, and doing those 6 things and doing them in order. So you maybe do a brain dump, everything that you've been holding on to that you know needs to happen or that you want to happen, and then you go back through that list and say, okay, what are the 6 most important things on this list for me to do tomorrow or for me to do today? And then you assign those 6 things. 1 is the most important, 6 is the least important, and you work on that first task until that first task is done. Then you move on to the second. So for me, you know, the first task is often my self-care and morning routine. And so that happens first, then I can move on to number 2, which is usually emails, social media, things like that. So that's the Ivy Lee method. And that's, you know, usually this method has 2 benefits. So 1, you're getting 6 important things done every day, but this method is also going to allow you to get real honest with yourself about what's just this would be nice if I did it versus this has to be done, you know, because there is a difference. And that's what I love about this method. And, you know, sometimes there aren't enough hours in the day. Sometimes I make it to number 4 on my list, and that's okay, because 5 and 6 will just be at the top of the list for the next day after my self-care. Now, if you're like me, well, actually, it doesn't even matter if you're like me anymore, because you don't have to run an online business to be on Zoom these days, because a lot of us are still working from home. And so what I encourage you when planning your day is to look at the things you already have scheduled. You know, do you have a client meeting at 10? Do you have a coaching course at 6? You know, whatever it is for you, think about the things that are like appointments, for lack of a better word, and keep, you know, 10 or 15 minutes before that appointment open and 10 or 15 minutes after that appointment open. I used to be the time block queen, and I would do all my meetings from 9 to 11, back to back to back. All that ended up happening was meetings ran long. I was constantly frantic and way stressed out. So I don't time block. I actually just decide based on my energy for the day, the vibe of my family, like what makes sense to do at what time. I don't hold a traditional 8-to-5 workday. I'm usually on, you know, 12 hours a day, but not 12 hours in a row. I allow myself tons of space, especially before and after meetings, for breath work and meditation. And so for you, maybe that's journaling and dancing or singing and writing, like whatever it is, I encourage you to spend the 5 or 10 minutes before your meetings doing something creative that's going to pull you out of your, meeting bubble, so you show up with fresher energy. And then after a meeting, for me, it helps to meditate for 10 or 15 minutes right after, to just recenter myself, collect my thoughts, marinate on some things, feel my feelings, all that good stuff. And that's another tip. So I schedule breath work and meditation before and after my appointments. Again, like I said, you know, for you, it could be dancing or a video game. Doesn't really matter what it is, but put time in your calendar for before and after meetings to boost your energy and help you process whatever you need to process. So lastly, I want to talk about our new roles as, you know, parents, care providers, business owners, aunts, uncles, you know, whatever your role is. If there's kids in your home, you've also been promoted to teacher, whether or not you wanted to be, whether or not you feel you're capable of being. That's what it is. And I just want to share a little bit about how I navigate this. So really quickly, I have 8 people in my home. So I have my husband, myself, and my 2 daughters. My disabled mother came to stay with us, as well as my brother and his 2 daughters. And of course, because of quarantine, we're here. Luckily, my husband and my brother are still considered essential workers, so they get a break away from the madness and still get to go to work. Although I suspect they're dealing with a whole other side of madness at work. 'Cause it's crazy times, people. Shit has hit the fan and the world is demanding change. Our planet is demanding change. And so while we're here just trying to ride it out and do what we can, we've also been giving this new role as teachers. And homeschooling is not for the faint of heart. Homeschooling is difficult. Homeschooling is such a shock to kids who are used to being in a traditional school environment. And I'm home right now as the primary caregiver and teacher for 4 girls ages 5 to 12, and that's grades kindergarten through 7th, and it's a challenge. But what has helped me is that I don't create these bubbles and timelines and force the kids to fit into them. That has not worked. It has never worked for me, and resulted in just so much added stress, so much overwhelm, and, you know, quite honestly, tears. Like, I've cried over this stuff. It's hard. Like, being a parent or a care provider is already hard, and now being a teacher and, you know, navigating the world as it is, like, the shit's hard. So I know when I wake up Monday through Friday that there's some element of homeschool that needs to happen. What I do is I check the vibe of the room. Like, I check in with the kids. I keep my awareness out for, you know, what is their energy like? What times of day are they feeling to me like they're able to focus? What are some times of day where they've shown me this is not a good time for school, you know? And really listen, because me bending and being flexible when it comes to their schooling and scheduling serves us all. Me remaining inflexible and expecting 4 children to fit into this bubble that I've arbitrarily created because my calendar says I have to do it between 1 and 3 because I put it there, it's not going to end well. And, you know, I know there are parents out there who are super fortunate and have really structured, regimented kids who the kid thrives on waking up early and getting into schoolwork because, and, you know, maybe later in the day they like to play. My kids are a little different. A couple days a week, they wake up, they're excited, they want to get school in right there. Other days, we don't get around to school till 4 or 5 p.m., and that's okay because that's the least path of resistance. They're still getting their education. My day has maybe shifted minimally to compensate for that, but it's worth it because I save myself so much stress in the end. So there you have it. There are my tips for planning your day. You know, just to recap, don't overplan. Don't try to do everything because you'll get nothing done. Make sure your self-care and your morning routines and your wellness practices are on your daily schedule and are non-negotiable for you. And get specific about what that is. Don't just put self-care time put exactly how you're going to take care of yourself in that time. Allow space to breathe and dance and move and meditate before and after scheduled appointments. Be honest with yourself about what's a must do and what's a nice to do. And check the vibe of the room. If you are a parent, or even if you're not and you're just getting used to working at home with other people, you know, check the vibe of the room. Don't try to force others to fit into our bubbles. Be flexible when we can, because it's going to be better and less stressful in the long run. So I think if you take those tips into account and work them into whatever, you know, planning system you're currently using, you will definitely see some benefits, and I want to hear all about it. So I would love it if you left a comment on this episode or a review. I would love it even more if you subscribe to this podcast, because we are bringing Soulfully Spiritual back in a way that is very exciting and really all about you. So I'm excited. Thank you for listening. I look forward to the next episode. You can find me on Instagram at Soulfully Spiritual, on TikTok at Soulfully Deanna. And if you are feeling brave and want to join a community of like-minded individuals who are down with chakra healing, down with meditation, get excited at breath work, get excited about health and wellness, join us in our private Facebook group. The link is in the show notes. And see you for the next episode. Bye.